Hello, and welcome to another podcast. I'm Mario, the Artisan Rogue. Inspiration, that ever elusive, constantly starving, and all too fleeting muse that comes to visit when we least expect it. You know, I have a particularly screwball relationship with the whole concept of inspiration. Being one who's not easily distracted once, you know, I'm in a thought pattern, and someone who likes to stay mentally busy, I'll find myself maybe, you know, working away on an illustration or driving out to a park for a walk to think things over, or maybe mulling over what I could have done better at my last show, and then all of a sudden, wham! One thing leads to another, and there's inspiration without warning. You know, it can be frustrating, because if I'm in the middle of one creative flow, I find it really hard to sidestep and record that other flicker of thought, but it's a necessary hindrance. Because, you know, not unlike what I spoke about in my first podcast about organization, which is one thing paramount to capturing any inspiration as it occurs, is having somewhere to write, record, or capture that moment because, and trust me, I know, you wait too long and that fantastic idea is gone. Or maybe somehow it's mutated into some weird secondary thought that, you know, it's maybe tied to your grocery list or that chiropractor's appointment next Tuesday. But recording these bits are not what I'm here to talk about in this podcast. I know that in recent weeks I've had a few friends and colleagues that have mentioned moments when they have no capacity to find something, anything really, that helps them get into a new frame of thought. Alternately, some have mentioned things like sadness and anger as being driving forces that enable them to cultivate new ideas and create from points of frustration or self-loathing. So, while I'm far from the type of person that ignores the greater sadness and suffering that can happen in life, I do my best to gravitate toward a more positive outlook. And this wasn't always the case. I am a firm believer in understanding the darker aspects of things, so that way it'll provide a leverage point in which to fully understand the joyous and better things in life. So, that being said, I know that I try and find a balance between the two. Let me explain. A few years ago, I almost gave up on doing comics. Now, I'm an independent publisher of my own works, and working solo on things can lead to tunnel vision at times. And I had a series of reasons. You know, I stopped attending local and regional shows and because I felt I had nothing to offer. And I mean, I still had a positive and jovial outlook, and I never let on to it being otherwise because I figure, hey, you know, there's enough negativity in this world, so why should I bring my own into this? But I kept getting this feeling that anything I had to offer was just worthless, or maybe my reasons for creating were just, you know, I was very unhappy with who I was at that point in time in my life. But I found that in doing so, I began to spiral out of control, and I was losing grasp on the first and foremost thing that I had wanted to do ever since I was a child, and that was draw comics. I was spending time trying to get acclimated to a new job, I was trying to play catch-up on bills, I was working a second job as a security guard on weekend nights, and I kept internalizing the issues I would run across, from adapting to this corporate environment, to waiting for paychecks to show up, because, you know, bill collectors don't wait, to, you know, dealing with some of the seediest and just downright horrible people you could imagine while working late nights at a major entertainment district, the one here in Kansas City. And I'm not talking about the employees, I'm just talking about our clientele. So it was months and then some years of feeling that something in me was changing, and it wasn't for the better. I didn't have as much laughter or a view of the lighter side of life as much as I would normally have. I knew something was wrong with me, and I didn't know how to fix that. Being the case, don't get me wrong, it wasn't all doom and gloom. And I have met more people in the last 5 to 6 years from various places, and heard stories and seen things that most people could live all their lives and never experience. But I was utterly oblivious to the fact that what was happening was I was overlooking a huge zone of inspiration and ideas that were just bubbling under the guise of daily life. So it wasn't any kind of watershed moment, but I do remember thinking to myself that out of all the disciplines and interests I had, surely I could mine something from the last few years and turn it into productive action. First and foremost, I started working harder on my observational skills. Watching people, listening to accents, dialects, and how people moved, how they were built. I cut out and really essentially censored the bad elements of things, and I focused on those bits to help build my method acting abilities, my voiceover mental database, and you know, and my retention on how the human body sat, danced, moved, walked, fell, which thankfully has become even more apparent to me, at least in my latest works, you know, my newest issues, is I really don't use reference when I'm drawing my comics. I get into a mental flow, I that paradigm, and I just use a lot of, you know, memory and my own knowledge of the human anatomy to do this. Secondly, I started taking a sympathetic look at how life is. And my first book of poetry and stories was birthed from overcoming my own introversion and talking to people, often complete strangers. And I found the core of what a lot of my art is about now, that everybody has a story. Every person, hell, every dog, every cat, you name it, they have a story. And in these stories, I found resplendent and bountiful muses. You know, many that I didn't even know existed. And I bound those with the ones from the time that I had at the bar. Now third, and this one was the one that many of you are probably familiar with if you're pop culture lovers like I am. But, I mean, damn it, isn't it just one of the greatest times to be alive when it comes to being able to see a flood of retro love and new ideas coming to life? Seriously, I mean, yeah, sure, there's always the negatives of money-loving executives rebooting everything, or maybe rehashing worn tropes in, you know, cinema or television, and sure, comics as a whole probably aren't doing gangbusters just because Marvel's reigning supreme at the box office, which, by the way, I'm hearing that Ant-Man is pretty freaking hilarious. I'm gonna see it tomorrow, so I'm really, really hoping for another great movie. I really love Ant-Man. But as I record this, in fact, San Diego Comic-Con and a series of a few other conventions this weekend are celebrating a gigantic array of visuals, content, and things that, you know, that show that there's a lot of people like me out there that are inspired to create new things, revisit old, and maybe even blend the two to wonderful ends. And I'm sure, just like me, many of them are in various places of mental states when it comes to inspiration, but I'm willing to bet that the ones that work at it hard, from the driven self-published artist to maybe, you know, a visual effects artist at Weta, they all go to the well to pull out inspiration. And that well fills from them going out and experiencing life as fully as they can. You can't create in a vacuum. That's the only kind of inspiration that comes from that could well essentially be the self-loathing kind. Maybe there's something to that. And I tend to have a lot of personal idols that I look up to, from George Lucas to Brahm, Bill Watterson to Yu Suzuki. And I look at much of what they did, what they're still doing, and I try to bring some of that into my own work. Joe Ramft, who's one of the best storytellers ever at Pixar, he passed away in 2005. He's a consistent source of creative inspiration for me. I could relate to his humor and his outlook on life from the videos I've seen of him and from people who reflected upon his huge presence at Pixar. When he was gone, a huge hole was left behind. But even born from something as tragic as that, positive inspiration can rise from it. Joe Ramft was such a powerhouse story artist and person that John Lasseter called him the very heart and soul of Pixar. Ramft still inspires me to want to be just like that. He was someone that not only found the good and wonderful, but he shared it with the world through movies, through stories. I mean, how can you find anything else but wonderful connotations coming from that? And he left such an indelible mark on people that even when they're asked about him to this day, many of the people from Pixar, they're still speaking about him with an endearing fondness for, you know, of his memory and all the contributions he made in life. So I guess if you take anything away from this, it's that inspiration, maybe in the end, is not so fleeting. But it is shy, and it is a master of hiding. Really often in plain sight. So once again, thanks for listening, y'all. I'm Mario, the Artisan Rogue. Remember to support your local artists and try and live life to the fullest. I'll see you next time.